don't want to see you coming back in here with fucking junkies. I want to see you coming back in here with bloodstained junkies.
Look at anybody going sitting up a pint with those boys after that.
And the referee is looking around and acting as Mickey.
Tell the children to play tennis or something.
If they want to play tennis, go and play tennis.
Hello, how's it going? Welcome to Three Man Weave, Balls of the GAA show. This is a Gaelic football show. Make a mark with me as usual. Lads, how's it going?
Not too bad. This is a Gaelic football show.
That's what I was going to say. I think we should specify that this is the Gaelic football show of this week versus the hurling one that we had earlier, as opposed to the Three Man Weave. This is a Gaelic football show.
Not the Gaelic football show. We've got Donald O'Hare, Dan Footballer, coming up later, who scored a hat-trick against Longford last week. That's good shooting.
I love a good Gaelic football hat-trick, actually. It happens, or this GA hat-trick in general. It happens
too, right?
Don't
get them too often.
Could you get a perfect hat-trick in Gaelic football? Left, right, and...
Header.
Or, I guess you have to go with your foot, but then... Or no, with your hand.
Oh, yeah, yeah, fists.
But if it's fisted, you have to put fists with your left and right as well, which means a perfect Gaelic football hat-trick.
Didn't Cian Ward score, was it 3 goals or four?
4 goals.
4 goals, yeah. Against Loud, and he definitely had one with the right and one with the left.
What about his hand?
I don't know if he'd won with the hand.
That's not perfect then.
Yeah.
Good to see Downer back in form though. We had a conversation for the listener about kind of going off topic a little bit quickly. We literally didn't get to our first topic before we went off topic.
But it's also good to see that Paddy Talley is O'Hare getting a hat-trick. Paddy Talley is now blossoming with attacking football after being released from the constraints of the old negative Connacht, Galway, Kevin Walsh ways.
I'm looking forward to asking Donald with this, right, actually, because would it be fair to say that Paddy Talley is ultimately divisive amongst kind of pundits and, I suppose, the players?
It'd be fair to say that, once again, an Ulster person was blamed for all the ills of Gaelic football when Galway were playing terribly defensively.
Yeah.
And it was all Paddy Talley's fault. It was even Paddy Talley's fault when Kevin Walsh was managing Sligo and playing defensively with them, and Paddy Talley wasn't even involved.
Can I just say, though, that the main person doing the blaming of the random Ulster man was an Ulster man himself?
I don't mind him.
Yeah, but that's where the narrative is set, right? So we talked this time last year about how Paddy Talley was only in Galway once a week or twice a week or whatever it was, and he wasn't running the whole show. And we've talked regularly this year about how Kevin Walsh is that kind of manager, for good or bad, not the kind of best manager suited to the Galway's natural style of football, as I said a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, the self-evident truth is there, but I'm actually agreeing with you here, by the way. There's just this narrative that gets away, and there's no chance to look at it or to stop it, and that's it now. That's the story. Paddy Talley is the reason Galway didn't play good football.
And even the way he's compartmentalised like that, because I remember speaking to Kieran Gormley last year, the Tyrone footballer, he won through All-Ireland with Tyrone, and I asked him about what Paddy Talley did with them, and all of it was nothing to do with tactical, it was all to do with physical. So say, for example, in 2003, England won the Rugby World Cup, and Paddy Talley had, he was working in St. Mary's at the time. So
I thought he was going the man behind the scenes. So,
but he was polishing my cat's boots.
But he...
my cat of all people.
He knew somebody based in the English setup and heard about these things called power breeds that they were using. So these were... So you'd sit on your couch and you'd use them. It was like restricted breathing, so it expanded your lung capacity. So he, through Mary's, ordered them in and then had them use them with Tyrone, which was a physical thing. It was down to fitness. Like, his influence was never really tactical. It was never really on shape. That was all Mickey Hart's remit. His was more on just, he was a trainer, you know, and a lot of what he did with Galway was just down to that as well. The person that they replaced him with is Kevin Stritch, who's a Olympic weightlifting coach. I mean, it's not, he's not going to be out teaching them, you know, defensive shapes and structures.
Replace him with Claude Puel.
Moving on, moving on from Paddy Talley narratives, but speaking of bad opinions, I think it's been a pretty remarkable couple of weeks for terrible opinions. So on that team, I decided I'm going to give you 5 of the worst opinions that I could think of in the half hour prep I did for this, and you're going to rank them 1 to 5.
Cool.
So I'll run through a list. This isn't in order of chronologically, but it just started yesterday because Colmar Eric said Keith Higgins is a bad man marker and I needed a fifth choice. That's number one. Two is David Brady criticising Greedore for celebrating their first ever.
Is this top five worst hot takes GA history, or just in the last week?
No, it's not in the last week, but that just happened to come
I
up
thought you were going to make up five bad opinions, and I thought that would be easy. This is going to be a lot more fun, actually, yeah.
So, that's he criticised Gudor for basically celebrating their first ever Ulster title.
5 months before they played another match.
Number three is Martin McHugh, who bizarrely called Cullen Cooper a two-trick pony.
One-trick pony, yeah.
Four is Bernard Flynn criticising Aidan O'Shea.
By the way, can I just say, in retrospect, kind of looking back now, and I'm a big fan of James O'Donoghue, but, you know, you would say that in terms of his ascension, it somewhat stalled around that point,
yeah,
you know?
That, yeah.
And it was in relation to James O'Donoghue that he was saying that Gucci was a one-trick pony, because O'Donoghue was a far superior player.
It was two tricks he had.
It was a one-trick pony. No, two-trick pony, you're right. Sorry.
And that's something you need to bear in mind, I think. That should be criteria for each of these five. That was an opinion that managed to get worse with time. Like, not only was it bad at the time.
What was the two tricks? Left foot over the bar, right foot over the bar.
Which is all you need. Number four is Bernard Flynn, who criticised Mayo's Aidan O'Shea for taking selfies with kids. And number five is an Irish Times editorial from 1926, which is amazing. I actually saw this on Twitter last week. And I quote, so this is about rugby, as is the Irish Times once. So it went to say, quote, "It is evident that a splendid type of player is being bred in our schools, and it is certain that playing rugby will receive an impetus throughout. If the Gaelic Athletic Association, who while still practicing the racy old Irish game of hurling, would abandon both its unsportsmanlike political ban and other games, and also abandon its wholly artificial and untraditional form of football, embracing rugby in its place, a valuable body of brawn and muscle will be brought into the rugby field." So they wanted to abandon Gaelic football for the sake of rugby. That was in 1926. That's an opinion you'll still hear a lot of people say today. I want you to tell me, starting with the worst hot take.
Can we try? Sorry, can I just say that an honorary mention to Pat Spillane for watching three games of hurling because he had no football game to watch, and saying
at the weekend,
it's a shit
yeah.
game, there's no refs, and I'm going back to football, thank God, because he spent the last 20 years giving out about football. And now, all of a sudden, because he's finally watched another sport, and by the way, if, as he says in that, he watched both Fitzgibbon Cup semi-finals, I'll eat my hat. If Pat has any proof whatsoever that he watched those things, I will bring a hat into next week's show and eat it.
In lieu of this...
Speaking of worst GA hot takes, Colin O'Rourke on Sunday Game saying that if Tyrone win in All-Ireland and Brian Doohan in the team, he'll eat his hat. Just to be that one. And subsequently, Tyrone won many All-Irelands and Brian Doohan in the team.
It's funny you mention Colin O'Rourke and Pat Spillane, because in lieu of this competition going ahead, this segment could just be replaced by the worst five hot takes from Conor O'Rourke or Pat Spillane.
That's right, we need to rank these.
Pat's also told us about 46 ways to beat the blanket. He really should be a manager.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
Okay, Keith Higgins' one is, I think, is number five, because I want to defend Conor O'Rourke briefly, right? I don't think it's true. I think he's creating a false equivalency from Keith Higgins being go forward style cornerback to somebody who can't do a job that he's actually not being asked to do.
Yeah,
and when he does a good job, right? So I completely agree it's wrong, and it's worthy of its place in this list. However, I will just say, in fairness to O'Rourke and to TV pundits in general, who were always critical of me included, it's a hard job. They're on there talking about 50 matches that they haven't seen hardly any of them. They've been thrown in, they've been asked about 40 questions. They have to have an opinion on everything. The whole world is watching. If they say one thing wrong, everybody's jumping on them like they're the biggest idiot who ever walked. What's O'Rourke? Like, I mean, he said something arseways. Big deal. Can we just let him off a little bit? You know, I'd have more of a problem with his kind of like not being able to articulate the issue about Dublin and Croke Park as well as Tomás O'Shea did, when I would arguably say that O'Rourke on his history would have a bigger problem with it than O'Shea.
Yeah.
You know, so that's more a problem for his punditry for me than just saying something. Like, I mean,
he also just was saying that he wasn't a great, like, saying he's not a great man marker doesn't mean he's not a great player. And, like, I think people might get a knee-jerk reaction. What the hell are you talking about? That's one of the best players in the country. Yeah, he could be one of the best players in the country. It doesn't mean he's the greatest man marker. Like,
I don't think there's anything to suggest he's not, though.
Well, he doesn't get put on, like, when a man marker job needs to be done, sometimes it's someone else in the Mayo team that's brought in, like Lee Keegan.
Yeah.
Just put Matt Mark in place of Jeremy Connolly.
But isn't that because you lose out too much on what Higgins gives you? Like, it doesn't Higgins mark his man well as opposed to being someone specifically being the man marker?
I actually think it's funny you mentioned Lee Keegan.
I think I'm not saying he doesn't, but I'm just saying that that's what I mean in terms of, like, I'm not saying that he definitely isn't a good man marker. I'm just saying that O'Rourke, the overreaction to it. So he's not the greatest man marker. And if he's not the best man marker in the Mayo team, then there's no need to jump down his throat over for making such a suggestion.
I think it's a really binary way of looking at man marking too, though. Like, it's the idea that, oh, he's great going forward, but what about his man marking? And in the same case as Lee Keegan, their man marking job is going forward. It's pulling players on the back foot. But, like, there's nothing worse than being a corner forward and having to run after a cornerback. You won't stay playing as a cornerback who can't see attacking.
Well, there is that too. And there's also the fact that you could send Lee Keegan out to just man mark someone and not touch the ball, and he could be brilliant at it.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying that in terms of it as a hot one, as in the top five worst takes
of all time.
I wouldn't agree
that you only put it in to make five. Really.
Yeah, exactly.
So we agree to that five.
There's a degree of understand, like, the compared to some of the other ones on this list. There's an element where you can kind of understand where he's coming from. You still see that it's totally wrong, but you can understand how he would lead to argue that. Whereas moving on to, I'm sure
who's four for you, Mark?
I've played around with this a lot. I think you're going to put the Irish Times at four.
I had that nearly as one. Yeah. Abandon the entire sport so that we can play a different sport. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
So number one is Mark agreeing with the Irish Times that we should be banning Gaelic football.
I'm not agreeing with it. Give your opinion there. I have Bernard Flynn at four. But, like, this is... I had David Brady at one, Bernard Flynn at two. Somehow Bernard Flynn has now ended up at four. It's very hard to come up with... These are all mental. Flynn thing, I think, again, it could be... You could argue... The only way I was thinking that he's down at four is there is an argument that he could have made, possibly, that Mayo need to stop focusing on the celebrity of Mayo and just concentrate, you know, go into, like, that sort of siege mentality kind of northern thing that, like, Armagh do so well sometimes, so don't even speak to the media, you know, that kind of thing, which I think he could have, it wouldn't be, again, the worst take in the world. It's the fact that he did it by saying, what is he doing, signing autographs for kids.
Here's the thing, I have this higher than McHugh, because McHugh's making a very wrong opinion on a player, two players. This is an opinion that what's costing Mayo success is being the type of sportsman that we need all GAA players to be. And I think that's a much bigger point that is really, I think it's disgraceful. Like, you know, and I'm literally, like, I'm saying with some of these, let's not overreact to what pundits say in certain ways because they're just giving a quick opinion on something, on the qualities of a player. Whereas this is very much like one of the great things for me, like the Clare hurling team, who I obviously know pretty well. Like, whenever my little cousins or whatever go to any of those games, right, that team are out on that pitch for an hour after every game they play without fail, taking pictures with every single one of them. I'd say my cousin, a couple of my cousins would have about 100 pictures with these lads at this stage. They almost, like, you know, you could say even that they overdo it. But isn't, like, it's amazing that they have such access to that. You see Galway hurlers, Joe Canning does it more than anyone. Do you think Joe Canning does that because it's a celebrity thing? Aidan O'Shea is the exact same. Like, they have it. You could say, you could argue your point, Mark, in loads of different ways, but standing there for a photo with a kid on the pitch after a game isn't one of them. I think that's there's a fundamental problem with what he's saying there.
He also tried to link it to mentality, for even though it was a challenge game that he was talking about in the first place. Like
I think I've taken this a little bit too seriously here.
So we're not saying that's number four. Therefore, are we saying we are saying that's number four?
No, hold on. Mark can have his list.
Yeah, we're revisiting it. I'm just like, I agree with everything you're saying, Mick, but the problem
is worse to come.
Yeah, exactly. This is the worst hot takes of all time. It's not like I'm going to say Bernard Flynn was right or anything. I'm just saying, if you're trying to see some logic behind what his thing is, it's like, well, he's saying, like, remember Rob Henley had the big Instagram post, was it, or a big social media post after the final, and we'll be back, and it's, was it Brolly give them the moniker of like that the word celebrity losers and all this.
Which was a joke as well, to be honest. But
it was, but there's you can see what they're saying is in terms of like if they went, you know what, screw the media, screw all of this stuff. We're focusing on nothing but winning Ireland. It might actually, as you're saying, it could be disgraceful in sort of the
morals.
The morals of the game, exactly.
Yeah.
But it might actually get them in All Ireland on the pitch.
It won't get them in All Ireland because
I'm not saying it won't, it definitely will or won't. I'm just saying there's a logic behind the argument that they when I say might, you could think it might.
Another thing that there's Mayo have is a really, really good relationship with their fans who are probably the best fans in the country, pound for pound.
But again, don't argue against me because I agree with you. I'm just presenting.
Right, okay. I'm going to take on your point there because you're saying that there is a logic to it, even if it's a twisted and flawed and ultimately wrong logic, right? Because as you said that, it made me want to jump on to the Gooch one. And the Martin McHugh one, because I can't find the logic
exactly
in describing Colm Cooper as a two-trick pony.
That's my point. That's why I have it ahead.
Fair. I'm with you. It's almost like I want to move on to this one. It's like I did almost dismiss it as just an opinion on a player. It didn't really matter. But what? How could? Did he ever even explain what the two tricks were?
I think that should be nearly number one because
There's
no level of understanding that she can bring to that. Like you, if you were to try and craft, if I was to tell you have to criticize somebody and you would summon this idea, oh, I saw them drinking 3 months ago, therefore that's what I'm going to pull up as it. But there's no, what did he say?
We'll get to that in a second.
He would say, this was, the Gooch, destroyed Dublin single-handedly in 2013 by himself. But he's only done it once. So that's what I'm going to bring up there was no logic to it. You can't even explain it. So I think that should be closer to number one.
I go through the ranking I have at the minute. There's Keith Higgins, Bernard Flynn, Irish Times at 3, Brady at 2, and McHugh at 1. McHugh's, again, it's based entirely on being able to, you can see the logic in the other three. You can say they're wrong and they're ridiculous. But at least, you can see, David Brady's gone back to the fact that they were drinking. They did something that he's basing it on. I just do not know what Martin McHugh is basing the two-trick pony on.
Without getting too serious, and look, David Brady is, I know him well, he's one of my favourite people in all of GEA. He's a friend of the show. And he got this arseway, so I'm not going to hold it against him forever. But on this specific hot take, rather than the personal attacks, that are going on, you have to take into account what happened in Guidorla a month ago. And I don't want to get into it. We don't need to talk about it now. But how someone could be so tone deaf on an occasion to call out them for losing a game of football based on something they did in December, given what had happened to that community, was just clueless.
Yeah. And
I can't get over it.
On several levels. Yeah.
Anyway, look, I'm not too worried about the order, but there is a common denominator between a Higgins one, between McHugh, Brady, and Bernard Flynn, is that there's a pushing kind of hot take culture to look for a reason why someone loses.
Yeah,
that is defined in something that's so small and random, and it's just I have this, I figured it out more than you have. Whereas everybody knows, if you actually think about it for 2 seconds, I'd let it be a lukewarm take instead of a hot take, that it's a myriad of reasons.
But Curra Finn are probably just a better team than Goodore.
Yeah. And we probably knew that going in.
Yeah. But also, can we address the Irish Times?
Let's. Don't think there'll be much arguing in this one.
Which is one of the thing about it is, as you were saying, Morris, the rest of these people immediately went, what the hell are you talking about? And they're not opinions that have been taken on by anybody else. Whereas the Irish Times one has managed to last the guts of 100 years.
And it's an idea you hear a lot with, why do we not have any good soccer players? It's because of the guy. It was a thing with rugby up until when we got very good at rugby, that why don't we have as good a rugby team? It's because of it's a weird idea that you can't have more than one national sport when you've got a population in excess of 400 million people. So
400 million people. 400 million.
So to be honest, I think the correct answer is it's McHugh, Brady, Irish Times, Flynn, O'Rourke.
Hey, thank you, Morris.
I'm sure we could update that 5 probably after this coming weekend, or even actually if anybody wants to get in touch with a better one, then a couple of those might have been slightly weak. So if you want to get in touch, you can email the gaffer@boz.ie or get us on Facebook, Twitter or Instagram to let us know outside of those five what you reckon should be in contention. We're going to speak to Donal O'Hare now of the Down Footballers, who are flying high at the top of Division 3 at the minute.
Well, you were fucked over the line twice. Fucked over the line like you'd catch a fucking loaf of bread and fucked you over the line with his shorts up. And what that does is it lifts the opposition. We don't want to see no Westmeath man fucked about. Is that clear now, Alan? No more!
All right, I'm delighted to say we're joined now on the line by Donal O'Hare, Down Footballer. Donal, how's it going?
I'm not too bad, Mark, yourself?
Great, thanks, yeah. Must be a fairly happy time in the minute now after the win over Longford, 3-7 to 8 points, a hat-trick for yourself.
Yeah, I suppose we went down to Longford knowing that they were top of the table for a reason, and they weren't going to be hard to beat, or weren't going to be easy to beat, sorry. I suppose just the live to get the win, and I just move on to the next one.
Yeah, I mean, to what extent would you be placing importance on the league? Because you're looking pretty for a promotion at the minute.
Yeah. Well, it's one of the things we sort of talked about at the start. And I suppose with the new management in, the new players in, everyone is playing for places. Everyone is playing for pride. I suppose that's sort of just added. You know, a couple of people just raised a game and brought a couple of other people with us. I suppose we were disappointed with our first game against Leash. And since that, we've bounced back.
There's a lot of talk about tier championships, and that maybe for certain counties the league takes precedent over the championship. I suppose, would you subscribe to that?
Yeah, I'd say so. You know, it's obviously you're only as good as your last game. But those that we're using the league as just to get used for championship. As I said, you know, there's new management, there's new players in, new system, new physios, new everything. So I suppose it's taken us a while just to get used to, you know, everybody and the new surroundings and stuff like that. So we need as much practice as we can get tonight, up to championship. And I suppose we've played a couple of games in Kenna Cup, and that's four league games done as well. So, you know, we're only about eight games in as a new setup ourselves, you know. So we're just taking game by game, and hopefully we're ready for championship then when the time comes.
Yeah, I mean, going by performances, the new management team has gone pretty well. Like, you personally, how have you found working with Paddy Tally?
Okay, yeah, you know, Paddy's sort of reputation speaks for itself, and I suppose when he got the job, I think it was last October, whatever it was, I suppose everyone was keen to get involved, and I suppose there was a couple of people that were maybe leaving last year, and that's just to say the same on the next year. And I suppose, you know, the likes of Benny Coulter and stuff, and players got back in, you know, players we have played with, and players that are role models of us and idols and stuff like that, has got everyone back on board. But, you know, I suppose it's good when you're winning, I suppose, and we've won three in a row, and things are fine at the minute, but we know we have tougher tests ahead.
Yeah, that's interesting. So there was players contemplating retirement and they decided to stay on when they found out Paddy was coming on board, is it?
Well, I suppose that when, you know, when your previous year goes in end, you know, people start contemplating on different scenarios. You know, we have a couple of people who left for travelling as well. They left the squad, the likes of Kevin Turner, Benny McGuire, stuff like that. Would be, the wrong side of the career, if you know what I mean. You know, they're close to 34, 35 now. And I suppose it didn't take much for them to come on board. But I suppose at the end of last year, they maybe thought, you know, things are coming to an end or whatever, but I suppose once my party got involved, and then, you know, the everyone that was in the team.
Yeah, I mean, the Paddy Tally factor is interesting because you speak to a lot of former Tyrone players and Galway players, and he comes highly regarded, especially with his kind of sports science methods and things like that. I know, I mean, Tyrone, for example, talked about the breathalyzer they used to increase their lung capacity and stuff like that in the past. I'm kind of wondering, on the other hand, then he's kind of maligned sometimes for a system like Joe Brawley, who seemed to have a bee in his bonnet about it last year. From a player's perspective, does that stuff penetrate, or is it all about what's going on within the camp?
Not really. No, I suppose, you know, as I said, it's just fresh ideas for us. You know, it's a new voice.
Yeah.
I suppose there's a couple of new voices there for us, so it's fresh enough to always think for us, new ideas, new approaches, you know, a new team, new system. I suppose then there's a couple of young boys that have come on board this year as well, that have sort of, you know, brought a wee bit of life in, and then we still have, you know, we sort of feel we have a nice blend of a variety there with a bit of experience and a bit of youth coming through as well. And I suppose, you know, the way we're playing at the minute, it's no different than any other team. And that's just the way Gaelic Couple is now.
Yeah, So what does, I mean, for you personally, it must be nice to have Benny Coulter involved as well, like a fellow forward. Is there anything you can get out of that yourself?
Oh, yeah, well, it's always that's my 8th year now, playing for Down, and Benny was still around, and the likes of him and Mark Poland and stuff like that, you know, were great influences. So it's only for Benny Coulter breaking an ankle, I probably wouldn't have got my debut when I did. So, you know, they have the likes of Benny Coulter coming back in, as again, I said, a new face, but it's people who really respect, you know, they've been there, done that. They've worn the red or black for Down for many years, and you know, you can only look up to that, and he's definitely adding value to the team.
Okay, yeah. If, as on yourself, while we're on that team, you're traveling over from Liverpool this year, and we're kind of wondering about the logistics of it like that. Like, you come over from games at the end of the weekend, is it?
Yeah, I'm in Liverpool myself this year doing a PCG and PE. Just sort of one of the things I have to do, and that's it. I suppose when the phone call went on and Paddy was on board and you want to be part of the team, then, you know, I thought I'd just go and give it a go, and it was a bit of a walk away at the time. So there was no need for it at all. So, I'm missing during the week. I think the body's going to choose night, so I end up only missing one training a week. Just doing my own gym over here and yoga and stuff like that. I'm usually in school about 3 o'clock on a Friday. Go to the airport, flight to 5:30, then land at 6:30, get in the road for training at 7:30, 8 o'clock on a Friday night. And then play the match at the weekend, and then get the flight back there on Sunday night at about 9:30, 10 o'clock, and we go again for another week.
Do you find the training by yourself difficult? Like, you probably miss out on certain elements of even just the crack or things like that, and while you're doing that.
Yeah, well, I suppose I keep myself busy, you know, the PC and stuff, not work. So it's not as if I learn about, you know, scratch my head and stuff and keep myself busy, doing my own gym work. Barry Reagan is on the squad, he's over in Liverpool as well. Ryan Johnson, who's also on the squad, then he's in Manchester. Then there's another couple of guys, Matthew Spadick on the Anfield squad, and Ryan and FC on the Manchester squad. So there's a good few of us over here. So we've been doing sort of our collective gym sessions and stuff like that, you know, just keeping us sticking over. But suppose I moved over here in September, you know, then 6 months as flu.
Okay, yeah. So you'll be based over there for a championship as well, will you?
Yeah. Unfortunately, I don't get a home place for me. You know, I was travelling back and forth every weekend for Burton. Unfortunately, we went longer, so we went in the middle of November. So I'm really sitting there. I had about 4 weeks break then before Christmas, and then once the first of January came, then I was really back on board and just travelling back and forth every week. I'm well used to it now.
Okay, yeah. Looking at the year ahead, Donald, I mean, what would your kind of collective ambitions be for Down? Like, where would you see their championship finish, or what would, have you spoken about any kind of tangible objectives for the year?
No, I haven't spoken about any championship. I suppose we all know that goals are Armagh at home, which is a massive game. It was 2 years ago we played Armagh at home. Lucky enough to win that day, but we know it's going to be a tough game. Anyone getting the Ulster championship is going to be tough. But as I said, you know, we haven't spoken about it as such. We're only 8 games in as a new team. We're just taking game at a game. You know, and obviously it's next for us, and I suppose at the end of the league, then we can weigh up our schedule or whatever, and then see how we went in the league and then reset the championship as such.
And is that change in management, is that just about, you know, betting in players, or is there new systems? Are you trying to get up to speed with a kind of new way of playing as well?
Yeah, I suppose there's a mix of everything. New players, new system, I suppose new trainers, new coaches and stuff like that. You know, we were in there for 3 or 4 years, and you know, we had a one way of training, one way of playing and stuff like that. And I suppose, you know, people coming in now, we have a new way of playing, a new way of training, you know, and new game schedule and stuff like that. So it's pretty much just a blend of everything, but I think just the mix of it has just freshened up everyone, and it's been great so far.
Before I let you go, the talk all week over here anyway has been about Congress, and it's been about I wonder does that register with you at all as a player, or do you kind of let the bureaucracy do what they do?
Well, I suppose the most frustrating thing is when the DFA ask us to vote. You know, they ask for all the players' opinions, and then we get the survey back of what the players wanted and what the players didn't want, and then suddenly, you know, we went to Congress and same rules were passed that the players didn't want. And so it's always a wee bit frustrating, you know, when stuff like that, when you're asked your own opinion and then you're sort of disregarded from. But I think there's just a wee bit more too much, you know, focus on rules changes and stuff like that, and just let the game the way it is. You know, the players want to play it, and and, you know, affecting chance of the players, depending on, you know, just taking on board.
Yeah, so the rule changes, the trial rule changes that have been played in the league, you haven't found those helpful, no?
Not really a major change, to be honest. Okay. I suppose, the March for in, well, I suppose the new one for an attacking four, but I think people thought that the forward mark as such was going to be, you know, back to 10 years ago of your, you know, Ken Donahue had the square and you're just going to lump the ball in. But I think the likes of Dublin and Monaghan, after that, have showed, you know, how to play it, how to use it differently, and why working the ball wide and in the space, and, you know, and letting forward run out of it. I suppose we don't have to look back to 2 games ago against Westmeath, where we got a point the last game to win it by Jerome Johnson, and that came from a forward mark, you know. So there is, I think people were very negative at the start, but it has been having a positivity on the league so far.
Okay, yeah. Finally, then, the one thing to come out from the weekend is the idea about a two-tier championship. I think John Horn spoke about it again on Saturday. If that did come in for this year, for example, that would mean Down were in the second tier. I'm wondering, as somebody who's been playing for Down for the last 8 years, would you be in favour of a move like that?
Personally, I would be in favour of it. I suppose when initial talk was up a couple of years ago, that people said that if you were to go to a two-tier championship, sorry, but the second-tier championship would have to be treated with the exact same respect, with, you know, with the same rewards and stuff like that, with holidays and stuff. But, you know, the way we look at it as Down, we look at it realistic, and we haven't been challenging, you know, the likes of Dublin, Kerry, Mayo and stuff like that for the past couple of years. You know, they're well outside us. So I suppose if you're giving us another chance of winning a trophy, winning as a team and playing in Croke Park, then why not? Well, you know, why would you turn it away? Although it wouldn't be the same McGuire stuff, but it's still... still an honour to win, and it's still an honour to wear your Down jersey in Croke Park and, you know, play with your friends and your family, representing your family and your club and stuff like that. So if you were to go to a two-tier championship and have the exact same respect, then why not?
Donald, that's great. Listen, I really appreciate taking the call.
No worries, thanks for it.
What an evening, what a performance. One of the greatest wins ever by the Rossies. Up to Pier Stadium. Goal with 6-1 on to beat us by 12 points. What happened? The Rossies arrived into town. What did we do? We blew them into Galway Bay.
I like this stuff. Down are playing Offaly on Saturday night in Division 3. Amazing kind of commute that Donald has for that. I mean, he touched off it there, but he's flying home from Liverpool on Friday to play a game, normally on a Sunday, so you train on Friday night and then fly back to Liverpool on a Sunday, and he's committed to that for the year. But yeah. I guess it's kind of nice to hear as well that he can link up with other intercounty players over there, and they've kind of a nice base to do their yoga or whatever it is, to just the vibe off people, because that's the thing you miss if you're training by yourself. You know, even when you're doing rehab, one of the worst parts is that you're isolated.
I was also thinking that for the hurling teams, actually, when we were on about earlier on in the podcast about like the likes of Lancashire ever having like the commitment to fly across every couple of weekends for
games. Yeah.
Yeah. Both of them in lower divisions as well is, it's serious.
It's class. Yeah. You always heard about training groups in Dublin, you know, and it's funny that, like, you know, it's becoming, I suppose the world is getting smaller and smaller.
Exactly,
people are even doing it in England now and stuff like that as well, that there's enough county players in there that they can get together and have...
There's an awful lot of club players do it as well. Yeah. Do it throughout the year. Definitely. They fly home from Liverpool and go to wherever for club games.
Look, it's not only Down who are looking to consolidate a title. Mick has been tearing away with Guess the Spreads so far this year. And we've got another guest.
I won the hurling one by a little bit of luck in the last earlier
playoff.
On.
Yeah.
We're going to go with 4 of our favourite counties, our so-called weaker games, and I've gone above that for 1, but...
Mark went first last time, then. You always go to him first because he's on your left.
So I'll go with you. Yeah. To you. That's some podcast insights there from Mick.
I'll send the picture out.
So Leitrim, London, Mick, you're up first.
Leitrim home to London. Right, now I have to be honest. Leitrim will definitely be favourites, I know that, but I know they're going well and London aren't, but London are doing all right. But I can't imagine Leitrim ever hammering anyone. I go Leitrim -3.
3, okay.
I go Leitrim -4.
It's Leitrim -6 and it's 1-0 to
Mark. Jesus, -6, right, bigger, okay.
We need to begin the 2-point rule from dead on, Mark.
Okay, it's in.
Leitrim... It's in. Yeah, Leitrim,
you should have told me that before I did that one, because it would have went higher than 4.
Leitrim were losing last Saturday to Limerick at half time, and, you know, came back and won by a point. And I just, that's actually been my favourite thing about them this year.
They've been losing every game so far.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And it's just like that it's not that they're just like, oh, this is a really good team that just have a bit of talent. They're going off and they're winning a few games and they're having a really good Division Four. It's that it's coming from a place of balls, really. Like, you know, that they're actually going and doesn't eking out wins.
In some way, doesn't it add to as well, when we spoke to Terry Hyland, he stressed that, like, he was made no bones of the fact this is their priority. Like, the league is where it's at. So you know how much it means to them when they fight back and they do that. So this game is obviously huge in terms of securing that.
I'm just happy to be justified. And remember I was saying on the first podcast where we were down in Galway before the league started, and we were talking about Terry. I was like, Terry Hyland is such a great manager. You think, look at what he did with Cavan and now what he's doing with Leitrim. And they're like, Mark, they haven't played a game yet.
Do you think that counties like Leitrim would have taken an inspiration from Carlow getting promoted last year? Like, that was kind of like, it's unheard of for Carlow to be in Division 3, which just shows you that if you just get, like, that is a level where organisation, structure, confidence, belief, all of that stuff just will bring you so far up. Like,
And you'd have a serious pang of, like, not jealousy, but want to be, to have that kind of that vibe, you know?
Definitely is jealousy.
I haven't heard the phrase a pang of want since I was a college.
Listen, Mark, you're up. It's Sligo Westmeath. What's the spread?
Sligo Westmeath. Westmeath minus -2.
Sligo Westmeath. Westmeath minus -3.
It's -2, spot on.
Yes! 3-0.
Limerick, Derry. You need this one, Mick.
Limerick and Derry. I will say Derry minus -5.
Derry minus -7.
It's Derry minus -4, so it's 3-1.
It's in Limerick, like, you know. Yeah.
Okay, we're going to Down versus Offaly. We spoke about this game already, but what is the spread?
You're up first, aren't you? Or was it me?
I went
Derry minus -7.
Yeah, that was after me.
All right, sorry.
this is very well organised.
Down minus... Is that home for Down?
Yeah.
Down minus -2.
Minus -4.
It's minus
so it's
3,
isn't it?
Oh.
So this is, it all comes down to this question, really.
So wait, what's the score?
It's 3-1.
So I can get 2.
Mick can get 2 here, and if you're miles off.
Oh, so, God, why didn't I just go with the safe one? I was trying to get the 2 points.
If I'd gone safe, I would have got 2 points.
We're going to probably the game of the weekend, actually. Donegal are at home.
Donegal at home to Armagh. I'm first. Oh, God, that's good, isn't it?
It's a good one.
That's a cracking game. It's on Air Sport 2 as well, so it's on television, which is brilliant.
Like,
we also have a competition up on site.
Can't imagine.
If you want to win a copy of Tom Clancy's The Division 2 on Xbox One, all you have to do is find the social media posts on our Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook page and comment with who you think is going to win the Division 2 clash between Donegal and Armagh.
Well, I think that Donegal are going to win it, and I think they're going to win it by 1 point.
Okay.
So is that minus...
No, it's Donegal minus -1. I don't know what I'm saying. Donegal minus -1 is my guess.
I'm going to say Donegal minus -2.
Donegal minus -2 is bang on.
Yes, no! Damn it!
That'd be a cracking game. I've seen Armagh play a lot this year.
That was my instinct.
My instinct was minus -3 with one before that, so look it.
We're out of time.
I have 2 things I need to get off my chest.
All right.
First of all,
give us back my sheet of paper. I threw at you there, Morris.
There isn't enough discussion about what is happening to the GAA bobble hat industry, given this global warming and this unseasonably good weather. I'm worried. I only got into the bobble hat game as recently as 2 weeks ago, and it's been too warm to wear my bobble hat. I know I'm a year and a bit behind everybody else, but Rory Gallagher must be fuming.
But is his out of necessity, or is it a fashion item?
Oh, I'd say it might be fashion. We know with him.
I think it's a necessity. Geezer used to wear them in the McKenna Cup as well, but they'd be long gone by the league.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know if they're still. But I just love, I think it's at McMenamin and Gallagher wear them. So the two of them are standing side by side all the time with these bobble hats.
What do you replace it with then? Like, I mean, can we step up the peak hat game? Because it's very bad. All you've got is Brian Cody's been wearing the same hat since 1956. And James Horan gets one out every now and then.
I want the Dan Shanahan game where you wear your cap backwards.
Yeah.
When is the intercounty game going to catch up with the intercounty players and start wearing snapbacks backwards?
Yeah, true. But moving on.
To get in touch with younger players.
I have to cut the finger off myself here, by the way, reacting in temper to losing.
One last thing as well. I we've gotten to the end of the podcast and none of you have brought it up. Cavan finally beating Roscommon. I'm hoping for a 10 to 15 minute feature piece on this.
Cut it off here. Like, we're out of time.
We're out of time.
No, lads, seriously. No, this is a massive thing.
Sick of it.
We should have beaten them by 15 points.
Put that music on.
Don't put any music on. Let's talk about it. Lads. Come on now, lads. Nick. Fix it.